Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Back to Malachi chapter 3. We are drawing our studies for the last several broadcasts from verses 6 through 9, and truths about salvation. First of all, some things we need to know about God, because we can't really understand salvation until we understand who God is, why we are accountable to Him, how we have sinned against Him. We need to know who this God is that we're dealing with, and that we must stand before someday to give an account, this God who is self-existent and immutable, but gracious and faithful. And then, secondly, we've learned that there are some truths we need to know about ourselves, and really the truths are one truth, one big general truth, namely that we are sinners. But in this passage, it breaks down into two categories. We are sinners both by nature and by choice. Those are the two truths. We are sinners by birth, born with sinful hearts, born with sinful natures, and we are sinners by choice. We have worked out in our actions, our decisions and our actions, the desires of our sinful hearts. We need to understand that. But there are also some truths about salvation in this section, and we have learned that truth number one, sin brings serious consequences. But truth number two, God is a pardoning God. How grateful we are for that. But truth number three, people are spiritually dull. People do not naturally understand their sinful condition and their grievous offense against God and their dangerous condition before God. And oh, that's why we need God's Holy Spirit to come and to show us these things. And so we're going to continue with this. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, January 21. Many thanks if you have helped us with the financial cost of maintaining the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Because now we come to truth number four about salvation, and it is this: sin must be acknowledged. Sin must be acknowledged. We are sinners, but we are not prone to acknowledge our sin, but sin must be acknowledged. We get that from the general statements of verse 7 and also verse 8. But verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Do you get this reluctance on their part to acknowledge their sin, to return to God? They are denying that they even need to do this. Sin must be acknowledged, and generalities are seldom sufficient. God says, in gracious pardon, in gracious invitation, God says, if you will return to me, I will return to you. That's good news. That's wonderful news. You'd think the response would be, I can't get there soon enough. I can't run to you soon enough, God. I can't bow before your throne soon enough and confess that I'm a sinner and seek your pardon. Oh, yes, I return to you upon the statement of this glad, glad report that if I return to you, you will return to me. But That's not the response. But you said, in what way shall we return? A general reminder of their sin and of God's willingness to restore them if they would return to Him should have sufficed, but it didn't. Their response is basically, we haven't done anything wrong. What have we done? And this is a reminder that people in their natural state do not like to think of themselves as sinful. We don't. We don't like to think of ourselves as sinful, do we? And we hear expressions of that disposition very regularly. I'm amazed at how many times I hear someone who has been accused of a heinous crime, and the evidence is so clear that it cannot be denied. But oftentimes when they are interviewed and you hear their interview on television or the radio, they say something like, but I'm not really a bad person. I know I murdered my mother, but I'm not really a bad person. And you say, what is this person thinking? What is going on here? But it is just a reminder that we don't like to think of ourselves as sinful. We justify our sinful behavior. We excuse it. We all think of ourselves as being good people when the Bible declares plainly that we are bad people. And here's the problem. We are bad people. And even if we want to think of ourselves as good people, we have to acknowledge that we have sinned. And almost everybody is willing to acknowledge that, but they minimize it. It's not such a big deal. I'm really a good person. I just slipped up. I did something that was not characteristic of me. I mean, it's not like I go around killing people every day. I just did it this one time. It was just a little trip up, a little offense. No big deal. Please don't think of me as a murderer. I'm not a murderer. Why, don't think of me that way. Don't think of me like all these other people in prison for murder. I'm not like that. Yes, I murdered, but I'm not really a bad person. Isn't that the way it is so often? And that's just a window into the soul of every one of us. That's the way we tend to think about ourselves. We don't want to think of ourselves as sinful, but I say here's the problem. If there's going to be any pardon for our sins, and we have all sinned, no matter whether we think it's significant or not, whether we think it's bad enough or not, we have all sinned. We admit that. We know that to be true. And the only way to be cleansed of our sins is to acknowledge it as sinful. You see, the way to be cleansed from your sins, to be freed from your sins, the way to become a good person is to acknowledge that you're a bad person. The way to be freed from your sinfulness is to acknowledge your sinfulness. It's just the opposite of what we think. We somehow think that if we can paint a picture of our being basically good, that will do the job. But of course it doesn't, because it doesn't deal with our offenses. It really doesn't matter what we think about ourselves. And the real issue so many times is we're concerned about what others are thinking about us. But the only thing that really matters is, what does God think of us? And the only way we can know the answer to that question is to go to His Word. We can't project upon God what we think He ought to think, what we think ought to be His attitude toward us, what we think. We can't project into the mind of God the way we tend to view ourselves. We have to go to His Word and find out what He thinks about us. And He tells us very plainly, all have gone astray from the womb, speaking lies. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. There's none that does good, no, not one. And that's just one description found in Romans chapter 10 and a quotation from the Old Testament. But there are many other descriptions as well that make it very clear what God sees. He sees us as sinful rebels. He sees our sin as serious. He sees our sin as heinous. He sees our sin for what it really is. He is God who knows everything. He is the holy God who gets everything right. He is a just God who gets everything right. He's never wrong. So let us go to his word to find the truth, and then let's go to him on the basis of the truth and deal with him. He said, if you will return to me, I will return to you. If you will come in repentance and faith, I will come to you with cleansing and with blessing. But sin must be acknowledged. And to make another point, if we're going to help people, if we want to be helpful in evangelism, and we do want that, don't we? We do want to tell people about salvation in Christ Jesus. We have got to make clear and plain the utter sinfulness of every human being. Human sinfulness must be proclaimed because sin must be acknowledged. And as long as we are minimizing sin, we not only tend to minimize it in ourselves, but we strongly tend to minimize it in our conversations with others or in our sermons many times in church. There's one preacher who may be the pastor of the largest church in America. He is the pastor of what may be the largest church in America. Was interviewed on television a number of years ago about his ministry, and one of the things he said was, well, I never preach on sin. I never preach on sin. Why not? Said the interviewer. Well, because people are struggling with the issues of life all week long, and they don't want to come to church and hear about their sinfulness. They want to come to church and hear something that's uplifting, something that's inspiring, something that will make them feel good. They have enough to make them feel bad all through the week. Why should they come to church and hear something else that makes them feel bad? I'll tell you why. Because it's the only way of salvation. They must acknowledge their sin. And for them to acknowledge their sin, they have to understand their sin. Somebody has to tell them the truth about it. And if a preacher won't, then pray tell who will. When people themselves are bent upon minimizing sin, ignoring it, justifying it, excusing it, and then they go to church, and the pastor's ignoring it as well, then what hope is there? That, dear friends, is a clear description of what the Bible would call a false prophet. One who refuses to declare the truth that the people need. Preachers aren't here to make themselves popular. Preachers' responsibility is not to uplift people in some artificial sort of way. There's nothing more uplifting than the gospel. There's nothing more uplifting than salvation through Christ. But the only way to the Savior is through the road of repentance. Sins must be acknowledged, and until they are, there is no salvation. Until they are, there is no Savior. He didn't come to do anything for the self-righteous. He only came to call sinners to repentance. He came, Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. We can help them if they will acknowledge their sin. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.